going to study a little bit about what we're going to expand greatly on what we studied in Bananas last night. So, the as you know, the readings for Pentecost include the description of the wheel within a wheel and the four beasts in the book of Ezekiel. And I want us to see if we can maybe understand that a little bit better. So let's go look at it. Ezekiel 1.
Beasts.
Yeah. Yeah, I just had a funny thought about how when you said that, I thought, well, you obviously already understand something, but so what? If we don't understand together, it's like...
meaningless.
It's meaningless. And that's, I guess, what every Bible study is about, is to come to corporate thought or the unity of thought.
Well, the reason is not necessarily even to understand it. Each time that you learn some of these aspects that seem kind of mysterious, all it causes is for you to repent at a deeper level. It's not ever really learning it. I mean, I may know the symbolism of the scriptures better than most, but it doesn't do me any good if I don't repent.
Yeah.
All right. Ezekiel. No, let's do it different. Let's do this differently. Let's read Revelation 4 first. I like Revelation. John and I are going to write a book on Revelation. Throughout Revelation, really 1, 2, and 3, it's primarily the message to the angels of the seven churches. And it's sort of like from that point forward, it's a given that you understand. I mean, it's like you can't understand Revelation 4 until you understand Revelation 3. And you can't understand any of the book of Revelation if you try to look at it in time. It has to be, you have to look at it from the perspective of the person that wrote it. Let's start in 319, 315. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou art cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Now what is that gold that's tried in the fire? Which we're supposed to buy of him.
Faith is more precious than gold.
And what is the gold that we're supposed to buy of him? What does that mean? Well, the only gold that's tested or tried in the fire is the resurrection. And so what does it mean to buy the gold then? Try it. What does it mean to constantly to buy of me?
It would be commit yourself, submit.
Cost your life. It's going to be his resurrection life. Yeah, you're coming.
Yeah. To buy is got. It doesn't mean like to buy. I mean, the word is properly translated to secure of me gold tried in the fire, and it's a basic it's basic kindergarten level, first level Christianity. But to come to him cost you your life. Now, if you are among those to whom the gospel is preached, the only ones that can hear it, the widows and the orphans, then you won't believe that your life is worth very much, so it's not a very dear transaction. That's why it's easier for a rich man to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for him to enter the kingdom, because the rich man will not pay the price, because he thinks his life has value. I don't know if you remember when you became a believer, but I remember very clearly, I thought my life had zero value. And so I was getting a really neat transaction. But if you'd have talked to me a year before that, I'd told you, go fuck yourself. No, I'm serious. I mean, this is why it's so critical to understand that the gospel is only for those who are blind and poor and naked and screwed up. Because otherwise you won't buy this. You won't secure from him this skull, because you'll think it costs too much. It does cost a whole lot. It costs you your life. But for me, wasn't very, that was a good deal. Right?
Yep. You got a good deal.
Well, yeah. All right. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried, tested. That's why it says in Romans, to present yourself the living sacrifice, so that you may prove or test what is that perfect and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's why, in order that you test it, you find out that it's tried in the fire. And buy me white raiment. You can't, yeah, that's one you really don't want to buy. You don't want that one, because it costs you it costs you the right to be right. Now that's a huge one. That's even more expensive than the gold. Cost you the right to be right.
Scary.
Cost you the right to be right.
Right.
Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. So the assumption is made that you hear. Once you hear, then behold, you look. And after this, I looked. It's always what you hear is what you see. And behold, a door opened. Notice was is in italics. A door opened because he heard. You understand that? It wasn't somebody up there that says, oh, John, you're a nice guy, so because you're a nice guy, I'm gonna open a door for you. It was because that John was obedient unto death, and he heard unto death. And the moment he heard, the door opened. The same is exactly the same thing as available to everyone, because he's not a respecter of persons. Do you understand that? You can't get by with thinking that Ezekiel was special, or John was special, or Paul was special. They're just you. They're just me. The only difference is they're obedient. They're willing to pay the price. You really understand that? Or do you like to make icons out of these guys? If you can make an icon out of them, then you can trivialize them. Understand that?
I think so.
I mean, people are even dumb enough to make an icon out of me. And I told you the other day that the only reason, can you imagine any group that would think I'm smart? After this, I looked, and behold, a door opened in heaven. It's real important that you cross out was. Or if you don't cross it out, understand why it's in there and why it is in italics, because some idiot thought you needed help. I heard, I saw a door opened. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here, and I will show thee things. I really hurt. I will show thee things hereafter, which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there and a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And around about the throne were 24 seats. Remember, these are the 24 courses in the temple. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts, or creatures, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like unto a lion, and the second beast like a calf. Actually, it should say oxen. And the third beast, it should say young oxen. And the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings round about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, we're going to talk a whole lot about these beast guys, but before, I want you to look at something. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, the secret of life is to have that mindset. To understand that all things were created for his pleasure. And if he gained pleasure from all things, so can you. So that there's no more ranking of life. And that's the secret to understand what the fall means. The power of the fall was to rank, was to compare. And once you begin the ranking or the comparison, then the fall was sure and secure. Understand that? Can you conceive of a state of mind in which all things would give equal pleasure? Think about that next time that you decide that you are going to start ranking things. All right. Let's look at the beast now. Do you understand? Do you remember? Have we talked about? I don't remember if we talked about bananas or here, if I've ever talked about it at all. Do we understand about how each of the tribes of Israel was given an ensign? And on the ensign or on the staff was the animal of the ensign. And each of those animals represented the 12 signs of the zodiac. Have we ever talked about that?
I don't remember much about it.
Okay. Well, we're going to just talk about these particular four beasts that we just saw. All right? Anyway, I don't feel like talking anymore. Everybody understand perfectly?
Not perfect.
It's all the same point. Spirit moving or hovering over the face of the waters. It was the entrance. The cherubim kicking out Adam and Eve. The destruction of the Tower of Babel. The giving of the law on Mount Sinai. Burning bush, Ezekiel's vision, the day of Pentecost in the temple, Revelation, seen by John, and a week from Saturday are all the same point. The same point and the same time.
So when Elijah went up, he went up on a whirlwind.
Think on these things. But your job is to convince everybody in your Bible study that they've been invaded by a hostile takeover and you've lost.
It's over.
So,
douse the bat.
Keeps refining this concept of why we go and celebrate this event. It's like ever since you did this thing about no agendas, it kind of did a whole thing in me of wiping out so much stuff that now the newness of the real thing can now be seen. Before I was under some stuff, you know, that wouldn't let me see this point, but we're going to see what was seen already.
We're
going to
see the cherubim.
Yeah.
We're going to go see the burning bush. We're going to go see Elijah taken up. We're going to go see, you know, they're all the same.
Yeah. And we're not going to praise God and have a corporate orgasm or something that, you know, makes you think like you've done something. I mean, the seeing of this thing is the experience, isn't it?
Amen.
That's the knowledge.
Hearing it. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And if you hear it, you will see it.
When the day of Pentecost is described, and all those thousands of people who were there, the ones that heard what Peter said were added to the church. What happened? What happened?
Casey starts writing books.
They were there. And they saw something. They weren't sure what they saw. And they heard Peter say something. And some people were added to the church and some weren't.
3,000 were added.
What was the difference? I mean, I know God picked the 3,000, but I mean, what? I mean, the point I got to tonight, I'm not where everybody else is. The point I got to tonight is I see this thing, this thing going in all directions so nobody can get back to the Garden of Eden. I mean, Adam and Eve are kicked out. I'm Adam's descendant, and I can't get back. That's what I see. I don't know what you're talking about when you say invaded and all this other stuff. What I see is, throughout several thousand years of man's existence, numerous pictures of the same thing, which is this beast within a beast within a wheel and a flaming sword, and you're out of luck.
It's true. That's why it says.
Yeah, where's well, what's all this other stuff about being invaded and stuff?
The other stuff is.
What happened at Pentecost? What's the significance of Pentecost?
The significance of Pentecost is that the seed, the sperma of God, was placed within you.
And by that seed, you can see what we're
getting. Invasion. So, like in Isaiah 28, where it says this thing comes in and overflows your. Destruction.
It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I've been invaded, but something's going on. I still can, I'm here.
Yeah, and it's not for Harry to see.
I've been invaded. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, not this one, lives. But Christ who liveth in me, and the life I now live in this body of flesh as a vessel, I live by the faith of the Son of God, so I don't give any credence to this at all. I can even put up an umbrella in the middle of the house.
Okay, well, what's the point of that umbrella? What is it that's happening? What is God doing? What is the point? He kicks Adam and Eve out. Adam and Eve have a whole bunch of descendants who are terrible hunks of flesh. God throws DNA down on them so that his incarnation as the Son is in each one of these people. And what's the point?
The bride is formed. Now we are the body of Christ and members in particular.
And it all happened because that's the recipe. Who knows why that's the recipe?
I know why it's the recipe. Something. It's the only way that God can have fellowship.
Mm-hmm. I mean, why did it the way he did it?
That's the only way it could happen, if you think about it. Can everybody get just a little break in the wall to see a little bit?
Yeah.
Remember, that's why the only thing that's necessary in the Feast of Pentecost is my people are willing in the day of my power. Passover, you're accepted. Pentecost, you're empowered. At Tabernacles, you know your destiny. That's the three things that man was born to know, and nobody knows them. Acceptance, empowerment, and destiny. They only know them they create a universe in which they have them. They lie a lot to themselves.
It amazes me, while you're talking, I keep thinking about all the films that have been made where time has been ripped and all the weird things happen. You know, it's like there's this consciousness in people that this is, but they don't quite know.
And all the horror films are just a revelation of what's already in your mind.
Yeah.
Take a big guy.